This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor in Corona, California. He is involved in the threat of lawsuit and counter-lawsuit with a next-door neighbor. And it entails, oddly enough, Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong is the American cyclist who recently won the Tour de France. And forgive me, I'm not familiar with this other than I know it's a series of races, right, Mike? And then whoever wins the most of them or gets the most points wins. And this is his third championship in a row. Quite a feat for an American, because this is the national sport of France. And I'll bet you it just burns those frogs. Oh, excuse me. I mean, I'm sure they really are very happy for him. So, Mr. Bozell, I get you on the phone right here. Now you were very much inspired by Mr. Armstrong. Is that correct?
I think the whole country, Mr. Hendry, is inspired by the story of Lance Armstrong and what he's overcome. And I know that I was, and my family was very much following the story in the news.
Have you or did you take up bike riding as the result of following his story?
I did, yes. And I had purchased close to $3,000 worth of equipment. I had spent $50 on the cycle short, bomber gloves, $35.
Rather than enumerate the items that you got here, you were in a dispute with a next-door neighbor. The name is Roy Hutchins, is that correct?
That is Mr. Hutchins, my next-door neighbor, yes, sir.
And he was out in front, apparently making fun of you because you decided to take up the sport of cycling.
Well, he was out front of his home 3 weekends ago. He had been drinking, which is, of course, always a bad sign, and he yells over, hey, Bozell, I see you got yourself a bike. And I said, yes, I do. And he asked me why, and I tell him I'm kind of interested in riding since I've seen Lance Armstrong, and he yells over, ain't that the guy? And excuse my language, I don't know if it...
No, that's okay, sir. I saw the quote. Go ahead. You can say it.
He yelled over, ain't that the guy who only has one ball? And I tell him, yes, he had testicle cancer. And he yells over, I guess you're inspired by him? Or I guess that was a question that he asked.
He asked you, are you inspired by him?
Yeah, the statement was, I guess you're inspired by him. And I say, yeah, I was impressed with his riding. And Hutch says to me, how come y'all wear them tight pants so tight? Because I was wearing a cycle short.
Now, these are the spandex...
Well, actually, they're nylon. But they're, yeah, some of them are spandex, and they are tight cycle shorts. So he said, how come y'all wear them pants so tight? And I said, I don't know, because I just bought them, but that's why the pants are tight. And he says, maybe Armstrong wears the pants tight because he has only the one ball. And I says, I don't think that's it. And then he asked me, with my wife standing there, and I made a note of this when I talked to my attorney, he asked me, with my wife standing there, do I have both my balls? Otherwise, how can I wear them tight pants? And that's when my wife April started to laugh. And Barbara Tollinger, who is also a very dear friend of ours, lives across the street. She was watering, and she starts laughing.
And then what did you do? I know you're upset. Then what did you do, sir?
I just turned and ran back into the house and broke down. I mean, that...
Now, you were upset for a number of reasons, right?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, I understand that a man's entitled to a joke. But the cycle short cost me a lot of money. That's $49.99 for the cycle short. The bomber gloves are $35. I got Karnak Triathlon cycle shoes, cost me $188.95. I got the Specialized Airwave 2000 cycle helmet. That's a $28 helmet, which I sent away to England for. I got $5 for the flyweight liner jersey.
Now, this is all in your lawsuit, right?
The amount of money I spent, because it's pivotal to my lawsuit. He can make all the jokes he wants. Okay, and I suppose, I guess I have to stand there and take it. I suppose I have to just let him stick it in, break it off, and do that. But when I spend almost $3,000, I think you draw the line on what you can joke about.
So you spent almost $3,000. How much was did you have the bicycle?
Yes, sir, $2,500 for a Fuji 21 Speed. It had an Easton frame and a carbon fork. And them's before tax dollars, and I'm standing on my driveway feeling good about myself for the first time in a long time, and he comes out and asks me if I have two balls or one. I think when a man spends that kind of money...
Well, it's rude. It's probably very rude in front of your wife.
Yeah, but my point is, when a man spends that kind of money here, I think it's what I'm talking...
Well, don't you think a guy is entitled, though, to make a couple of jokes?
He's joking to the point where it makes my wife laugh at me, and he's joking into my face about equipment that's almost $3,000 worth of equipment.
Well, I mean, maybe the joke about Lance Armstrong was rude, him having testicular cancer.
Right. And he intimated that I had the testicle cancer, too. Otherwise, how could I fit my ball sack? Or, I mean, I'm sorry.
That's fine. I mean, you could say testicles if you want.
Well, how could I fit my testicle into them shorts? And them shorts cost me about $50. So here's what I was going to say, Mr. Henry. I don't think it's reasonable to ask a man to stand there and take it as your next-door neighbor ridicules your cycle wear that cost you $3,000. If the whole outfit only amounted to, say, $50, then I can see him having a point about my testicles. But I almost spent on clothing $400, not just on clothing alone.
All right, well, it sounds like you're putting a price tag on a man's laughter, though. In other words, how much money should you have spent on your cycle wear?
Mr. Henry?
No, but how much money should you have spent on your cycle wear for Mr. Hutchins to be within his rights to laugh at you?
Well, I told my attorney about $100.
And anything above that?
And anything above that, I think you're getting into an actionable area because of excessive cruelty.
So if you'd only spent $100 on your cycle wear, then he could make all the jokes he wants. But because it's $3,000.
I think above $100 now, it's excessive cruelty, because I go out, I get fitted for cycle shorts. And let me tell you something. He's not the only one making fun of me, because I got on tight shorts. But he was the one who said...
If you need to get a glass of water or something...
Thank you.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is considering a lawsuit against the next-door neighbor. I think he also wants to name Lance Armstrong because his neighbor laughed at him. His neighbor made a reference to the fact that since he's wearing tight bicycle shorts, then maybe he only has one ball, too, like Lance Armstrong. Are you back, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So anything above 100, let me give our phone number out, too. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So you're contemplating a lawsuit against your neighbor, Mr. Hutchins.
Mr. Hutchins, I'm contemplating suing for excessive cruelty under the color of friendship. I'm considering...
I've never heard of that.
Excessive cruelty under the color of friendship, yes, sir. My attorney tells me that you could have a friend, but for him to talk about whether you have one ball in front of your wife is excessive cruelty under the color of him being my friend.
Okay.
I'm considering action against GH Sports because they made the cycle shorts so tight as to prompt questions about the size of my testiculars. I also feel like I must at this time draw Mr. Armstrong into this litigation.
Lance Armstrong?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Because as much as it hurts me to say this, Mr. Armstrong, through some misuse of his health, caught testicle cancer, then overcame it and made himself a hero to people like me. I go out, I get cycle short and the cycle hat and shoes, and my neighbor starts making what my attorney calls uniball references. And I also reluctantly must include the U.S. Post Office.
The U.S. Post Office, is that that's the sponsor, right? You can't say culpability on their part, but you are, right?
I believe by them sponsoring a guy with testicle cancer, they should have seen all these jokes coming, and a guy like me wouldn't be caught twisting in the breeze with my shorts around my ankle.
Okay, well, Mr. Bozell, I believe this comes under the heading of frivolous litigation, okay?
Oh, you do, huh?
Yes, I absolutely do. I believe this comes under the heading of frivolous...
Let me tell you something. Until you have to stand there in front of your son wearing tight cycle shorts and assure him that you are not a uniball, until you have to stand up...
Where are you getting terms like uniball and excessive color of... What is that?
Excessive... My attorney, Dolores Blazengame, said that these were acceptable terms. They're courtroom terms...
Uniball.
Yes, sir.
For a guy that lost a testicle
testicle cancer.
Testicular cancer, I think is the term. All right, so you're saying that you were humiliated in front of your son?
I think when your son stands there and he looks at you and he goes, "Hey, Dad, Mr. Hutchins says the only reason you can fit into them shorts is because you...
You have one ball.
You got one, yeah, you had a nut clip. But I know things will be better because I will tell you this, Mr. Henry. Only when you've been in the deepest valley do you know how magnificent it is to stand on the highest mountain, and that's what keeps me going. What are you laughing about?
Hold on. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell is suing Roy Hutchins, Lance Armstrong, the U.S. Post Office, and GH Sportswear. Because cycle shorts are so tight, they prompted his neighbor to question whether he had both testicles or not, since Lance Armstrong, very courageously, I might add, overcame what's got to be the most frightening kind of cancer that a man could get, testicular cancer. And I don't know generally, what do they do? Put a couple of plastic ones down there, something, but I do know that it doesn't have to affect the man. Well, what do I know about it? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, I rode a bicycle through the country of China about almost 20 years ago, a 10-speed, and I had those cycle shorts or whatever you call them. They actually have a padded crotch, and they're comfortable, and they don't get in the way because your legs are spinning all the time, so they stay away. That, if any of you really want to know why. And Mr. Bozell, did you know that?
No, sir, I did not. I knew I was a very big admirer of Lance Armstrong. I seen he wore them, and I seen that people are not having a problem with that, so I bought them.
But your next door neighbor questioned whether you had one ball or two because Lance Armstrong sounds to me like a guy that doesn't get the sport of cycling, that's all. Here is Dave on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Hey, listen, I really have a problem with our legal system that even allows someone to say that you can bring this suit forward. Sir, please do not bring Lance Armstrong into this. Please do not bring the U.S. Postal Service into this. You need to get a thicker skin. You need to talk to your wife about laughing about you. You need to have a little more self-esteem. And also, when you put those shorts on before you even walked out of the house, didn't you just think for 1 second that maybe someone might think that they were a little...
Okay, did nobody laugh at Lance Armstrong? I don't think so.
Lance Armstrong does it because that's what he does, sir.
Well, sir,
you could wear a regular pair of shorts, and you probably wouldn't get the ridicule.
Well, here's my question, and I think it's a fair question. Lance Armstrong is the one who had testicle cancer.
How can you bring this in, sir? He overcame a disease, and you're using that for a lawsuit for money?
What is the exact tie-in here, Mr. Bozell, of Lance Armstrong?
If I can just make the point, he got testicle cancer, and yet he still gets to wear tight shorts, and nobody makes no... jokes about him. How come I step out of my house the very first time I got on tight shorts and my neighbor says, hey, what happened to your other nut or some kind of juvenile thing like that? Okay.
Then you ignore him, sir. People like that, you just ignore them.
Well, I would ignore him, but my wife laughed.
But you're looking for money,
Barbara,
and your wife laughed at you, and you feel that you've been insulted as a man. Sir, the courts should not be used for this. I thought it was a joke.
I said it sounds frivolous to me.
And you remember what I said to you, Mr. Henry?
You said until you stand in front of your son and he asks you if you have one ball.
That's right. Until you stand in front of an 11-year-old boy and he says, hey, Dad, are you a uniball or whatever the heck the kids say nowadays?
And then you sit down with your son and you explain why the guy next door is such a creep and why he shouldn't have been saying what he said, and well, maybe you could get things done.
Is this next door neighbor a friend of yours?
We've had barbecues.
See, this sounds like the kind of banter that guys have at a poker table. I mean, it sounds like the kind of manly banter that men have making fun of each other's manhood, you know?
Well, I tell you what, it was all I could do to pull myself together emotionally to go out and ride my bike the next day. And I tried to go down the side of the house so he wouldn't see me.
Who?
Mr. Hutchins.
You tried to go down the side of the house with your bike?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Excuse me, can I ask one question, sir?
Yes, sir.
Are you overweight?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, then I don't see where there's a problem, sir.
Because he's going to be yelling at me going, there goes one nut again.
Well, you tell your 11-year-old that people like that exist in the world, and he's going to come up with people like that. He's going to become in contact with people like that.
And how
you handle it is not the way that you should show 11-year-old how to handle things, sir.
That's a very good point.
Well, Barbara Tollinger, who is my across-the-street neighbor, had also heard it, and she had also laughed. I said to her later, she said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed, which I said, okay, Barbara, I understand that. But if I go down the street now with the tight pants, she'll laugh too.
What? I think you're blowing this way out of proportion, sir. And if you do take this to court, I just hope, you know, you better hope that I'm not on the jury.
Well, sir, that's your constitutional
right.
Yes,
that's right, sir. And apparently it is your constitutional right to bring a frivolous lawsuit like this, and you're bringing Lance Armstrong into this? Now, that's ridiculous.
Mr. Armstrong, he did not take care of his health enough to not get testicle cancer. Now he gets it. Now he cuts to be a hero.
So you're doing this for money?
No, sir. I want to show Mr. Armstrong if he didn't get a testicle cancer, then I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now.
Excuse me. Do you think he did it on purpose, sir?
Well, he could. I don't know if he's wearing his pants are too tight. I don't know what.
Wait a second. You can't.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Phil. But I think that any sort of cancer like that is a hereditary sort of disease.
Well, it's not even. It's not certainly not a virus. It's not an airborne bacteria. You said he caught testicle cancer.
Well, he come down with it somehow.
Leave him out of it, okay? The fact that he had testicle... Look, this guy has overcome a lot, all right? More than you've had to. You said to me that a guy shouldn't be allowed to sue if he didn't spend that much money on his equipment. So you're saying that some people ought to suck this stuff up.
Yeah, they only spent like $10 for their shorts.
Hey, but you've spent $3,000, so therefore you feel you have a legal precedent to sue.
When I put on the bike shorts, my wife says, are you... You know, she said, I guess you're going to laugh at this. She said, are we missing a ballsy-wallsy?
That's a joke. Your old lady is having a fun with you.
Oh, so ballsy-wallsy is something I'm supposed to take.
Now, I think that's between your wife and you, sir, and not the courts, and not for us to do.
Are we missing a ballsy-wallsy, dude? That's
Okay, you two gentlemen might think this is amusing.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous, sir, that you are bringing other innocent people into this. You're bringing your 11-year-old son, and you're showing him that the way that you take care of people like this is you go to court.
You go to court, you jam up the system.
Well, both of you gentlemen probably don't know how to use the legal system of America.
No.
I love my country.
Well,
and
good.
I'm the legal system of my country to the best of my ability.
Well, you're screwing things up, dude, because the judge is going to look at this, toss it out within seconds. And you'll have spent all this money on the attorney. Listen, thanks for your call, Dave. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Sarah on the Phil Henry Show. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm just appalled at somebody wanting to sue something that's silly. If this person,
are you on a speakerphone, ma'am, or something like that?
I'm on a cell phone. I'm trying to get over to an area where I can pull over. I'm trying to get off the access. But. It's just ridiculous for people to be suing for petty things like this.
Are you married, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So you don't know. What would you think of a wife who says to her husband, are we missing a ballsy-wallsy?
You know what? If you're not confident enough in your own person, then that's your own problem.
But that's not really my wife's fault. She was inspired to say that by Roy Hutchins, who said, ain't you trying to copy the guy who's got the one nut?
Talking to the wrong person. I just got finished riding a 500-mile bike ride across the state of Iowa with about 10,000 people wearing these shorts. And if you're so insecure that you cannot wear these shorts,
Ma'am, you're a girl. You're a girl, okay? You don't have anything that gets messed up down there. As a guy, I got to stick two testicles into the bike shorts and shove them up in there.
And on this 500-mile bike ride that I went across, there were probably about 8,000 men in these bicycle shorts. Now, if you are so uncomfortable wearing these shorts at the bike shops, you can go get looser-fitting shorts that fit over them so you're not showing your genitalia.
How do you know? Did all of these men have both balls? That's the whole thing.
Well, what is she supposed to check?
You know what? Nobody was even concerned about that because they were so confident in their own person that they didn't even have to worry about anybody teasing them. And if anybody teased them, especially the men on my team that I ride with, they're strong enough people to take it and just blow it off.
Okay, but
evidently, you are not strong enough to blow it off.
There's no need to get personal, man. You didn't ask. Are all of you, well, not that you would ask, but you didn't check through other sources whether these men had both of their nuts,
testicles will be fine.
I mean, both of their testicles?
What on the bike ride this lady went on?
Yes.
Wait a second, hold on.
It doesn't matter if they have one testicle.
Right. Thanks, Sarah. All right, we've got to take a break. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You didn't ask.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
See, when I married April,
right?
I was trying to get away from my mother. My mother had been a very domineering influence on me, and she never let me do nothing when I was growing up. Now I marry April, and she goes, you know, do you have your ballsy-wallsy? That sounds just like my mom.
Well, right, well, this is a psychological issue that you have.
But she knew it. When I married April, she knew I had an issue with my mother. Now, when a woman laughs so hard, you can see the spit coming through her fingers because she put her hand to her mouth when Roy said what he said.
All right, Roy said exactly what to you? Because I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't.
What Mr. Hutchins said to me was, Lance Armstrong can fit into them tight pants because he only has the one ball. And then he asked me, with my wife standing there, do I have both my balls? Otherwise, how can I wear them tight pants? And that's when my wife laughed so hard she spit through her hands.
And you're suing?
I'm going to sue Roy Hutchins and Lance Armstrong for making me look stupid.
Lance Armstrong made you look stupid. That's a new one. I didn't think that Lance Armstrong... You said that Lance Armstrong, you were suing him simply because he came down with cancer, as you put it, therefore made himself a hero, and therefore you wanted to get into bike riding.
Yeah, that is correct, essentially.
All right, here is James on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just got some comments for that guy, man. Man, he needs to get over it, that's for sure. And,
I need to get over it,
huh? I'm a police officer here in Houston, Texas, and I see these frivolous lawsuits all the time. And
449-8686. Here's Debbie on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, yes. I just think it's really ignorant to have to drag in Lance Armstrong, who is, to me, overcame a disease that we fight with all the time, and he dealt with death.
Well, you're a woman. You don't fight with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir. I have a husband that we joke around a lot. And you know what? You don't have the two balls that you need to stand up. And your wife obviously doesn't think you do either. And it just has nothing to do with
Lance Armstrong. I'm standing up. I'm suing the guy. I'm standing up. I'm suing him. That's standing up.
Oh, wow. You know what? It takes a coward to do that.
A coward. A coward to use the legal system of the United States of America. Legal system.
You are using something frivolous. You are
and I can
using
tell you right
dragging
now, Danny,
somebody in the mud.
I'll tell you this right now, ma'am.
You have psychological problems.
I'll tell you this right now, Debbie. I've got two balls, and I'll be happy
well,
to,
let me tell you.
I'll be happy to swing them around for you if you want me to.
Okay,
you are
look,
a very
it don't.
Sad, sick man.
How am I
to
sick?
Drag somebody into the mud who is a hero.
My wife.
Who has overcome something that you can't even overcome, your psychological problem.
Okay.
And you're crying like a child.
Let me ask you a question. Why would my wife make up a sign and she wanted me to wear it on my back while I rode my bike and she thought it was funny and it said, don't ask, yes, I have both my balls.
Oh, well,
it is
then,
funny.
Isn't that a thrill? You have to go around to tell people.
She put the sign, she wanted me to wear that.
Oh, wow. Well, make up your mind here. Either your wife laughed at you or she's sticking up for you. Which is it?
What are you talking about, sticking up for me? She laughed at me almost from the beginning.
Okay, well, then she wants you to stick a sign on your back. Well, gee, my husband doesn't have to do that.
Well, your husband probably don't wear no tight pants.
Yes, he certainly does. He's a cyclist. And you know what? I don't have to ask him that. And I do joke with him many times about that. And you know what? You need to take it as a joke and grow up.
Is he able to get his whole package in them shorts?
Well, what is this?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. Let me just... Is he or is he not able to stick his whole package in them shorts?
You need to grow up.
What kind of a question is that?
See, she can't answer. See, she can't answer because she's avoiding it.
No, because you are just one sick person.
No,
you're
husband,
using our system
to
drag into somebody who's a hero,
right,
who
see.
Has overcome something that you couldn't even handle
you
one
saying,
iota.
You're saying Lance Armstrong's a hero, and you refusing to answer my last question leads me to believe your husband's
well,
a uniball.
Because I think you're a very sick man, and I think you have a lot of psychological problems to use our tax dollars to do this.
Well, I wouldn't sue him if I hadn't spent $49.90 on a GH short.
Oh, my. Well, why don't you go and use that for counseling,
oh,
sir?
You think that's okay? Have you ever seen a Fuji 21 Speed? That's a $2,500 bike, okay? And
I
got the specialized Airwave 2000 helmet. That's a $28 value.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
Sell it, then.
What about the bomber gloves? They're 35. All of that adds up to...
Well, I'm sure that company will gladly pay you back what you paid for your things.
If your husband, ma'am, with all due respect, if your husband had spent $3,000 on cycling equipment, gets home and his wife, and you say to him, hey, one nut, what are we having for dinner tonight? I bet you he'd break down and weep.
Let me tell you something. He is not a crybaby.
Yeah, he's
a man.
Why
don't you go get some help? Because you're going through the change of life. Have a nice night.
Change of life. I'm 35. Thank you.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. You kind of make a good point about I spent $3,000. You don't want people to give you crap right out of the gate. But I got to tell you something. Calling a guy uniball or one nut, you know.
Ain't that bad.
No.
Mister, I feel sorry for you.
Jeez. You know, especially I happen to know that I got both of them, all right?
Well, you couldn't resist getting that in, huh?
What? Katie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi. I think guy needs to spend the money he's spending on this lawsuit on psychiatric help.
Original.
Oh, boo-hoo. Your mom was domineering. Get the hell over it.
My wife.
And you know what? If your wife is laughing at you, if it's really that big a deal to you, divorce her.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Bozell? Do you have training wheels on the bike?
Yes, sir, I do.
Now, how old are you? 35?
Yes.
And you have training wheels on your 10-speed?
That's correct, yeah. What's unusual about that?
Well, no wonder your wife's laughing.
Oh, you're going to laugh at me just because I have training wheels? Now, let me tell you something. No woman laughs at me and calls me one nut just because I have training wheels on my bike. All right? I don't happen to know how to ride a bike. I don't happen to know all of the stuff about it. I put training wheels on it.
Well, you're going down the street wearing your tight pants and your $3,000...
What are you laughing at?
What am I laughing at? Dude, you go out and spend $3,000 on cycle wear, shoes, pants, a helmet. You got this $2,500 Fuji 21 Speed, and you put training wheels on it?
Am I not allowed to wear a helmet just because I got four wheels instead of two?
Well, what do you need it for, man? What are you doing? You're going down your driveway?
Is the woman laughing, too?
Yeah, she's laughing. We're all laughing.
Okay.
Man, if you're just starting out in something, you don't spend $3,000 on a hobby.
Can I have both your names, please?
My name's Phil Hendry.
And Lady Katie, what is yours, please?
Like I'm going to tell you?
Well, I have every right to name you in this lawsuit. And the training wheels. What?
I never did.
Your phone was breaking up. What'd you say?
I never called you any names.
I can't.
Your phone's breaking up. Say that again, Katie.
I did not call you
any
names.
Yes, she just said, hey, dickhead.
No, she did not.
I did not.
Did you say your husband had a hernia?
Yes.
Well, then, did he lose one of his nuts?
No, but sometimes it slips back into the hernia, so it appears as if he has.
Oh, yeah? So I bet you he can get into cycle shorts.
Yeah, that's great.
And the training wheels cost...
Yeah, he looks
very what happens?
Sexy in them, too.
Them training wheels cost me $9.95. Lance Armstrong, I'm going to...
Oh, he's crazy. He's out of his tree. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
If you're in business for yourself, or if you work for a company that doesn't offer health insurance, listen to this. Now you can get affordable health insurance for you and your family. Imagine that. Affordable health insurance. The Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee has it. And to find out more about it, all you have to do is call. The Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee is a trustworthy company, so they'll be there when you need them. So call 1-800-228-8258. Write this number down. 1-800-228-8258. If you're in business for yourself, or if you work for a company that doesn't offer health insurance, why should you have to pay more for quality health insurance? Isn't it time you saved? Call 1-800-228-8258. That toll-free number again, 1-800-228-8258. May not be available in all states.
Log on to HamptonInn.com, book a room, and go. Why? Because life's not an either-or proposition. You don't take a shake and a promise without a John Hancock, or play 18 without going 19. So why settle for just one when you can get both Hilton Honors hotel points and airline miles from around $79? So hit the gas and leave people wondering how you do it. It's your car, your road, your pie in the sky, a la mode even. And Hampton Inn is with you all the way. Some restrictions apply.
If you want to save big on tobacco products, order directly from Big Indian. You always save big at Big Indian because your order comes directly from the Seneca Nation, tax-free. Low prices and no tax means you save, well, big. Brand name tobacco products, $31.75. Value brands as low as $12.90. And these low prices always include shipping and handling. For tobacco products at the lowest prices possible, call Big Indian, 800-898-9040. 800-898-9040. Or go to BigIndian.com and save.
They got the whole nine yards. You go in, you sit in the old school kind of red booth, you know. The place has been there since the 20s. And really cool. And we generally, like, at least one night we'll go out there and have them set fire to our food. Not because it's any particularly good. It's very good food, but it's just neat to have them set fire to your food. Isn't it great when the guy pulls up the thing and this is the steak flambé, sir. Thank you. And it's leaping into the air, and you're like, ooh. And always there's somebody at the table next to you going, and what are you having? We're having the steak, Diane. Ooh. Good Lord, look at that. And then he puts it on your plate, and it's black. It looks like the remote for a TV set. And it's great. No, I'm kidding. It's really delicious. And Arches is out of sight. And we went there Sunday night. But now cut back to Sunday morning. I wake up to the sound of KFI upstairs. It's 6 a.m. and all I'm hearing is
KFI, more stimulating talk radio, and 613. Yeah, go ahead, you're on the air. I don't like you, and you, I need to take a dump. Okay.
And this is going on, and it's loud. It's coming through loud. It's pouring, cascading. And Maria wakes her up. She's like, holy Jesus, what is it? And I don't know, honey. I think it's a radio, okay? Well, what in hell? Yeah, and I almost wanted to go out and say, would you turn it? But I, the hell, man, it's the beach. People, you know. And I thought it was an elderly woman. Now, look, please don't think that I'm casting aspersions. I'm not. I know that elderly folks, they like to listen to the radio, and they need to have it up loud, because in some instances, their hearing is diminished. And when I was in high school, there was an old lady that lived next door to us. And all night long, she's listening to Ray Bream. And all I could hear would be,
hey, how you doing? I'm living now. You, man. Well, I don't know. All right, thank you. Oh, we're going to make another call.
And it's about, you know, it's just that muffled thing. I'm 15. I got to go to school. I got to get my sleep, okay? I'm a growing boy, and this is keeping me awake. I think to this day, I have insomnia problems because of that incident, listening to that crap. So this was going on upstairs, and it's KFI. Now, I work for KFI. Do I got to listen? And I'll listen to it when I want to listen. Do I got to listen to it? I don't want to listen to it? I told David that story. He laughed his ass off. He thought that was a riot. I can't get away from it, man, even when I want to.
KFI, we're still on talk radio. Rush Limbaugh. It is I, Rush Limbaugh.
And when Limbaugh first went on the air, I was up in Ventura, and I was living in an apartment with the thin little walls, and I was broke, and I was working for a little local radio station, and the guy next to the apartment next to me was a college student at UCSB, and he would tape Limbaugh's show and then play it back at night. So I'm trying to get some sleep. It's midnight, and this is what I hear.
I'm your leader, Rush Limbaugh. I'm President Bush today with a golf ball, and hi, Rush, Nettles. Thank you.
This was going, you know, and so I wanted to call. I tried to call my wife just now. I tried to call her, but she doesn't have the cell phone on. She's probably out at the beach with the kids. To get her to put the phone out there so we could hear the radio. And then, of course, the thought came to me, as I'm saying this, sooner or later, that person who has the radio is going to hear me say, and I'm saying this very politely, and you're very sweet, and thank you for listening to KFI, but would you turn it down a little bit? I got to use 50,000 watts. I got to take up time, precious airtime, which I wouldn't know what to do with ordinarily anyway, so I might as well just blow a few minutes doing this. And to say to you, it would be very sweet of you if you could turn the radio down. Otherwise, you know. And then the last night I went out there, and I looked up, and it was coming out. It was like,
John and Ken show. Hey, this is John and Ken show. John Cobell, Ken Campbell. OJ slipped into the... Have you noticed that OJ...
I think OJ did it.
Oh, you didn't do it. Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, you didn't know.
And I wanted to... And then I looked at the people who were next... to them, and they were out on their veranda, and they were looking down at me almost with that sort of pleading look one has in their eyes, almost like a someone locked in a cage, and they want you to throw them the key. They're looking, please, because all they can hear
is, Mac here in just a moment. Coming up, Phil Henry is on KFI AM 620, more Stephen A. Talk Radio.
So that was the trip, and... Of course, you know what? I shouldn't talk, because Saturday night I had the kids out there and I was teaching them spades. I love to play spades. Not bridge, not pinochle, just good old-fashioned spades. It's a cool game, it's an easy game, it's a fun game. And they were bitching and moaning about it, but when I taught them, they got hooked on it. And we had this awesome spades game going. And, of course, we were playing till about 11 o'clock, so what were they hearing upstairs? Oh, yeah, that was my trick! Why did you trump that, you idiot? You insane moron! So that was going on. So, you know, I can't really complain. Maybe if we'll keep our spades game a little bit more quiet, they'll turn their radio down.
Phil Henry.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
We got part 11 in our 21-part series now, Young Women in Health. We have Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. This is the Summertacular, is it, Janice? Which is, I think, their fifth Summertacular is coming up. And Bobby is on the line at the steering committee meeting. We wanted to talk about girls in health because you're having a junior Miss Fashion show.
That's correct, Phil. This is going to be our seventh Junior Miss Fashion Show, and we're very excited. The problem that we're having, though, is this year, because of 9/11, we had a lot of girls just eat their way through the winter because of, you know, the trauma and
Well, it was a devastating time for all of us.
Yes, it was, absolutely. We are having a difficult time getting enough girls for the fashion show who are up to a level that we would want to see. The LA Times has covered us in the past. We've won two consecutive Junior Miss pageant competition honors. Gary Shandling is going to be a judge this year. The Daily News is going to be there. It is an exciting time, and it's a disappointing time for us because for the first time we have girls that are just not in shape.
Well, when you say not in shape, what do you need?
Well, we need them to be around a size 8 or less. My daughter Amanda and I are, you know, I come from a family that's very athletic. We're very athletic. We try to be an example to other families. There are families with young ladies in them. My daughter Amanda, she's a cheerleader at our high school. She plays volleyball. She's a soloist in the ballet by the Sea Junior Dance Company. So, you know, she does...
So she's in shape.
Oh, absolutely she's in shape. And this is the problem. She has a lot of friends whose parents do not monitor their diet. I find it shocking. I monitor everything that Amanda eats. I monitor her carbs. Absolutely no dairy products. No after-school snacks. No red meat. Chicken once a week. The rest is soy protein. Celery sticks. So you see what I'm saying? In other words, what we try to do is maintain an example for the other people that live here. And I don't know. I'm worried.
Well, you said that you guys are an example to the people in the neighborhood. How? How do you...
Well, Amanda and I, we jog in the morning. My husband, Steve.
I jog a lot.
Steve jogs. He jogs a lot. He does 5 miles a day.
I jog 5 miles a day on my...
Hold on, I'll do it. He jogs 5 miles a day.
Now, I asked, your husband has a landscaping business, right?
That's correct. So he's outdoors, but everybody else in the community have these young women who have not really gotten into shape. Now, this year, Amanda is perhaps our only hope. The other girls, as I said, responded badly to 9/11.
Well, let me ask you, you said they responded badly to 9/11. These girls over 8, so they're not ready for the fashion show. They don't have the body size or the...
We need a size 8, Phil. These girls are size 10, size 12.
Well, how did your family respond to 9/11? I mean, we all were, you know, it was a devastating...
You know something, Phil? We don't let those things get to us. We really just... the day that 9/11 happened, I said to Amanda, let's go play miniature golf. Let's go. And we went out. I shot a 36, which is very good.
That's like two strokes. A miniature golf, that's two strokes a hole, right?
That is exactly right. And the reason why I did that is to show I'm not going to let the terrorists win. So as soon as those towers went down, I said, okay, let's go up to golf and stuff. Come on. And Amanda went with me, and we had a wonderful time. So what we're doing, I simply rise above situations like 9/11.
All right, we've had some input from other parents. There's a fashion show coming up. Were you talking to some of these other girls?
Yes, I did. I went over to the community pool where the girls are.
Now, these are the daughters of other people, right?
Yes, but what I said to them was, listen, you can overcome what your parents have done to you, allowing you to eat like this. I give them a picture of my daughter, Amanda. You can look like this. She's in a cute little teddy tee. She's got nice little shorts. Tell them what you said.
She wasn't my daughter. I'm doing.
Well, no,
Anyway,
so that's what I'm saying, you see.
What? I didn't hear what he said.
She was my daughter. I got the hood of a car.
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is that your daughter is an example to all of the other young women.
Well, she's an example to the other young women, but more to the point, Phil, we need these girls to get into shape. What I offered them was a way to what we call reject the caloric intake for a two-week period, and that means that they are able to expel the caloric intake. And
well, what are you talking about, purging?
We're talking about just releasing caloric contents of the stomach.
You're talking about throwing up.
I mean releasing the caloric contents of the stomach, and then I give them the picture of Amanda. Okay?
Well, you're teaching these girls how to have an eating disorder, Bobby. In other words, what you're saying...
No. For 2 weeks, we're getting the girls to have a little bit of pride, to stand up to their parents and say, you're not going to make us monstrosities, and you're not going to make me into something because you and Daddy can't keep a fork out of your hand. And this is what it's only 2 weeks, Phil. And
well, it's a purging regimen that you're talking to the other girls. What do their parents say?
You know what I say to the girls? I say, let's keep this between us because I think your parents are going to be so proud that it's...
So you're not telling the parents?
No, hold on, Phil. I tell them that your parents are going to be so proud when they see you on the runway at our fashion show.
All right. I don't want to be, and I want to give her phone number out here, Bobby. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're teaching these kids how to purge, okay?
For 2 weeks. Phil, I tell them it's 2 weeks to glory.
But, and so they can look like your daughter, Amanda.
My daughter, Amanda, is an example to these girls. She is cut. She is ripped. She's got a wonderful stomach. She's got a wonderful shape. She's a girl who I think any other young girl would want to look like, and very few do. And if I can tell these children how to release the caloric intake...
You call it releasing caloric intake. It sounds to me like purging.
For 2 weeks.
All right. So in other words, putting your fingers down your throat for 2 weeks, okay?
Do you know why my daughter looks so great? Because of me. And do you know what I do for my daughter? I teach her that the way to look like me basically is what I want Amanda to look like me. And I tell her, and we stand in front of a mirror, and I go, see, you see me and you see you. You can be like me if you can do the things that I ask you to do. Eat very lightly, soy proteins, but don't keep it in your stomach for longer than 4 hours. And you do that for 2 weeks. Stay at a size 6 or a 4. You know, so girls these days need to learn how to sacrifice to get something. I help them become better adults.
1-800-449-8686. I'm worried that because you're trying to put on a successful fashion show, you're teaching children, young girls, how to purge, all right?
Just for 2 weeks.
All right, so you're saying it is not a dangerous thing for the 2 weeks.
No, and I'll tell you, Phil, I love my daughter so much. I'll tell you a story. One of my sons, Justin, had a birthday party, and he had a chocolate cake. And I walked in, and Amanda was lifting the piece to her mouth, and I went in, and I slapped it out of her hand. I had been outside raking, and I had the rake, and I knocked it out of her hand. And I said, how dare you? And she went into her room, and she cried herself to sleep. And the next day, she said, Mom, I'm sorry I let you down.
You hit a piece of chocolate cake out of her hand with a garden rake.
I had been outside, yeah. That's how much I love her. That's really how much I love her. And so this is what we're trying to teach all the girls at Western States. You can look like my daughter and me if you simply, 2 weeks to glory, purge that caloric intake. Let's get that fashion show up and running. Let's show the LA Times, let's show everybody that we can be, Western States can be the Junior Miss Champion.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here. The only thing that I worry about is the health of these girls.
So I am concerned about the health of these girls. I'm concerned about the health of my daughter. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why I'm doing what I can do for these other girls whose mothers sit around all day long doing nothing but lifting a fork, lowering a spoon, and all of the other things that we've heard so much about ever since 9/11, eating their way through endless amounts of calories.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 9/11 was traumatic. I don't think that you can use that as a... I don't think you can say that they're weak because of that. Here is Alyssa. Alyssa? Or is it Alyssa?
It's Alyssa.
Go ahead, honey. You're on the air.
Hi. I think that you're totally stressing the wrong things with these girls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that by stressing...
Are you involved in fashion shows or anything? Do you do anything?
No, I'm not, but mm-hmm. I happen to be very involved in exercise. I work out mm-hmm. every day for at least an hour.
I'm very cut.
So am I.
Yeah,
I'm a size 4, but mm-hmm, I happen mm-hmm. to think that by pressuring these girls
yeah.
to be skinny, and right. that being skinny is the only thing that counts, mm-hmm. is really, really the wrong thing to stress.
Well, you have to
and
understand.
To teach them to throw up mm-hmm. is just absolutely disgusting.
Well, let me ask you, Alyssa, because you're 2 weeks of throwing up. Is that so bad?
I don't think it's bad at all, Phil. No,
that
no
is
but I'm
terrible.
Asking the other
that
lady.
It's absolutely terrible because there's no way to say that it's going to stop after 2 weeks.
Well,
and the right way to do mm-hmm. it is to teach these girls proper diet and
mm-hmm.
proper exercise
mm-hmm.
and not throwing up.
Gary Shanley.
We have a lot of important people coming to our fashion show. The LA Times, Sam Rubin from Channel 4, Gary Shandling. I'm sure you've heard of the Larry Sanders Show, Alyssa. Hello?
Yes, I have.
Hello?
Yes, I have.
Is the caller there?
Yes, she's there.
I'm here.
All right. We have a lot of important people, and what we want to do is put on a show that we can be proud of. And, Alyssa, if you're asking me to parade beasts out onto a stage.
Let's remember that we're talking about girls here, adolescent girls.
You're talking about young teenage girls.
Yes,
and how dare you teach them that they have to be a size 4 or a size 6 to be a good person. I think that by eating healthy and by exercising, I agree with you that they have to have a healthy diet and they have to exercise.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you telling me that you haven't looked at that tri-tip a few minutes after it went down? Are you honestly telling me...
Are you asking this lady if she's purged?
Yes, point blank.
I have never in my life thrown up. I actually have a phobia of throwing up, so I have never ever done it.
My wife
I'm not telling you that when I was a teenager, I didn't want to be thinner, but by throwing up or taking laxatives or whatever, that's really, really not the answer.
Can I ask you what I'm supposed to say to NBC when I parade fat children? I don't understand.
Why do they have to be fat? Why can't you stress diet and exercise?
Yes. How about health?
And just being healthy.
You know, how about health? How about having the girls do gymnastics?
Exactly. Why can't they take exercise classes or take them bike riding or playing ball or something
like
that?
You know what's happened to the two of you? The whole JonBenet Ramsey thing now. Everybody thinks that the junior Miss pageant is a wrong thing, and I am absolutely grieving for the young girls who can't have that moment of glory because some child was thrown down some stairs. And I think that...
Oh, come on. Will you please?
I think you're really insane, and you are teaching children the wrong thing.
No.
I have a 12-year-old daughter and an almost 14-year-old daughter, and I would never let them be in your pageant.
So Mary Lou
and they are both skinny, and they are both beautiful, and they are both talented, and I think that by stressing schoolwork and talents and by each girl showing what they are good in, and that doesn't mean that they have to be skinny.
You know who,
and I really think that you have to work on yourself because I think you personally have problems, and that's why you are trying to make your daughter into something that you would like to be.
Would you let the lady finish here?
No, but I want to make a point, Phil. Stressing schoolwork. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's parents stressed schoolwork with her. She looks like Margaret Hamilton. She is...
All right, so Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't a bathing beauty, is that it?
Why can't somebody be thin or healthy? Why do they have to be a size 4 or a size 6? As long as they eat properly and exercise,
as well as I do that the top designers in New York are gay. And because of that, they design their dresses to fit the body of a 12-year-old boy.
I happen to agree with you. I happen to agree with you that the sizing is wrong.
Exactly. So we have to have the girls. You can't tell the difference between my son, I can't remember, Justin's the eldest.
I believe Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan. You can't tell the difference between Dylan and my daughter Amanda. Same body type. I'm very, very proud of them.
I think that's terrible, and I hope that you get some help. And I really have to go now, so have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
The caller's leaving, all right? 1-800-449. We're talking about health. We're talking about kids and health.
I love my daughter, and I would never do anything to hurt her. And I want her to be healthy, but I want you to understand something. Our Summertacular Junior Miss Fashion Show is in 2 weeks. And you're asking me to parade in front of the L.A. Times, the L.A. Daily News, Laura Diaz of Channel 4, nothing but beast after beast, sow after sow.
They're kids, okay?
I understand that. But this is an important point in the history of our homeowners association. If I put nothing but beasts out there, I'm going to lose the presidency of our homeowners association. And then our dues go up. And then our property assessment goes up.
So it's all about you?
No, it's about me and my family.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, I don't care if she has a fashion show. She says that teaching these girls to purge, binge and purge for just 2 weeks, isn't like teaching them an eating disorder. An eating disorder is lifelong. She's teaching these girls who she says are overweight to purge for 2 weeks, and then it's all over. 2 weeks to glory, as she calls it. I think, and you heard that one lady who is a fitness expert, that it could be dangerous. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby Dooley about a fashion show they're going to be having in a couple of weeks at their Summertacular. We'll be right back. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I said to her. But her daughter is acceptable.
Her daughter's acceptable. She's a size 8.
Yes.
All right, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley here. And
so I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to promote our summer tackler and tell you how we're getting the girls into shape.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to a phone call here. Hi, Kim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just have a comment to these people. Mm. If I was in the market of wherever their function was going to be held, I would boycott the hell out of it. I can't believe they are teaching children that this is the proper way to maintain weight, and long after they win their award and they win their little prestigious prize that they're going after, these kids are believing that the lifelong way to maintain their weight is through purging.
Do you know the snacking that these children do after school?
Yes, you know, I was a chunky little kid when I was a kid.
Well, can I jump in? I think snacks after school.
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but I'm talking to your caller. I don't.
I just want to say I think giving a kid a snack after school is a good thing. Kids are starving when they come home from school.
It is good. You teach them to have a healthy snack.
A healthy snack. These children have been eating their way through refrigerator after refrigerator, and you know why, Kim? Because of this 9/11 business.
You can use excuses for everything.
There's
always going to be issues in life, and you can blame anything on everything.
Can I ask you a question? Are you fat?
I was a very chunky little child, and I had skinny little cousins.
Right. Now, are you fat now?
I am pleasingly plump. Yes, I am.
Pleasingly plump. Okay.
Yes.
I'm very cut. I'm very ripped.
And good for you. I'm proud of you.
Uh-huh. I do spinning classes. I don't know what you want me to say to you, Kim.
And how long have you been purging?
Do you want to be like me?
No, not
you
really, if
be.
I have to throw up.
You can be like me.
Do you purge, Bobby?
I do. I went on the Two Fingers to Thinner Thighs cruise, which was last year.
And what is Two Fingers to Thinner Thighs?
That is a very quick, delicate purge after dinner.
How long have you been doing this?
Oh, I've been having... How long... You sound as if it's terrible.
It is terrible.
No, we have a lot of fun with it. We get together after dinner.
You have fun throwing up.
You should learn how to dispose of the lard.
No, thank you. No,
Kim,
thank you,
I'm saying there's a way you can dispose of your lard.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll sweat it off.
Two Fingers to Thinner Thighs cruise, huh?
Yes.
And you had a lot of fun.
When you get women together who care about their bodies, you can have a ball after dinner.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it myself currently for about 6 months.
Okay, well, let me tell you.
The Starbucks enema.
Hold on, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is purging, and she's advising young girls to do it, too.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. I don't have a problem with you having a fashion show. I have a problem with you teaching children to purge after for 2 weeks leading up to the fashion show.
Phil, first of all, it's for only 2 weeks. That's number one. Number two, I guess you don't understand, and I don't know why you don't understand, because you are in the entertainment business. We have a great many individuals coming out to judge this. Number one, we have Laura Diaz.
Yeah, I understand.
And Gary Shandling. And a lot of great people.
Gary Shandling. Have we got Mr. Shandling on line three? We have Gary Shandling.
Good, finally. Okay, let's get Gary on the line. And
Gary Shandling on the line.
I talked to him, Steve. I talked to Gary. Is he there? Hello, Gary, are you there?
Hold on for a minute. Let me punch the line and get him on here.
Gary, are you there?
Hello.
Gary, hi, Phil Hendry.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Gary, it's good of you to call the show, and I understand you had an issue or something with this lady was talking about.
I don't know. First of all, I don't call into radio shows, and I listen to you all the time, Phil. You know, I think
appreciate
the show
that.
Is great, but I was
mm-hmm.
listening today, and this woman says mm-hmm. I'm hosting something, and I'm just not, and I was glad I was listening. Usually I don't call in to complain, but gee whiz.
Mm-hmm. Gary, I talked to Pam in your office, and she said you'd be happy to do it, Pam or Laura.
Pam or Laura? I don't know any Pam or any Laura, and
right,
this always happens, and I never do anything about it. I called my agent like 10 minutes ago and said, am I hosting?
Please, Mr. Dooley, hold on. Gary, are you saying to me that you have no knowledge of this event that Ms. Dooley has been saying you're going to be at?
Was her husband saying he was a fan?
Are you a fan, Mr. Dooley? Is that it?
I love you, Gary.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
We love you very much, Gary.
Yeah, but there's some misunderstanding because I'm not hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I shouldn't have called. Mm-hmm. I knew this.
You're not hosting any bit that's.
I'm not hosting anything. I don't know what the cause is exactly. It's not something I want to get involved in.
If you could see my daughter, she's really hot.
Hold on for a minute about your daughter, okay? I'm embarrassed for you, sir, Mr. Shanley. I'm.
Great, the Spider-Man.
No, I wasn't in. Oh, for the love of...
I want to know something, and I want to be clear. Are you telling me that after I talked to Laura or Kim, and I can't remember her... Is your agent's name Ron?
No, I don't really... honestly, I don't know my agent's name, but I don't believe it's Ron, but you should... What is it? All right.
Jewish name?
Hold on.
What are you paying?
What we're paying, we have tri-tip, corn on the cob. We're having a green and red cabbage salad.
My daughter's hot, too.
Oh.
What are you paying?
I shouldn't have gotten involved.
Yeah.
Listen, I just wanted to say, Phil, that I am not.
I'm sorry that this had to come out like this. And to throw somebody's name around like that, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I can assure you, Mr. Shandling, that my agreement with your office is that you'll be there. If you're not there, then guess what? You won't have a TV show anymore.
I don't have a TV show anymore. I don't have a TV show anymore.
All right, well, then we'll get you a TV show.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then you won't have it either.
This is why I never get involved.
Yeah,
I never get involved in talking to the people who want me to do these jobs. I'm with the Endeavor Agency. She should call them, and maybe somebody else can know us. Maybe the guy who hosts Survivor, the Jeff Probst.
Can you get Jeff Probst?
We could get Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst. That's, is your agent's name Bill or Sam?
Will you come on? You didn't talk to his agent. It must have been somebody else's office that they talked to, Gary. Who did you talk to, anyway?
One of the gentlemen selling maps over here on Hollywood Boulevard said that he could get you. And
yeah.
Oh,
you get Warren Beatty instead?
I would...
The phone, Steve. Mr. Shandling, are you there?
Yeah, yes. He's right there.
We could give you... we can send a car for you. My son will come in a van. He'll come in the Western Estates van to pick you up and bring you over. We'll have a full corn on the cob dinner.
No.
Five Scrabble games.
He doesn't want to do it.
And please take this in the right way. It sounds appealing. I'm just not. I can't do it. And the Endeavor Agency, right. Ari Emanuel is my agent. You can call him and maybe straighten this out.
What if we give you a backstage pass?
Never mind.
I'm going to have
Gary,
to go.
Gary, thank you very much. I am embarrassed for you, but I'm sure that...
I've got some other stuff.
Please don't hold it against our program.
Why don't you bring Calista Flockhart with you? She'd be great for the girls to see.
All right. That's inappropriate. I got to go.
It was. Thank you. Gary Shandling calling, who apparently has no knowledge of this gig.
Well, I can assure you, I talked to either Steve or Pam in his office, and his agent is Ron or Dave, and they said that he'd be available either for our... thing or the Emmys. I don't know which one it was.
Well, he's not available. The man can't make it. And the question that I now have for you two is that not only are you...
you've embarrassed me. You've embarrassed Western Estates.
I didn't embarrass anything. Gary Shandling called, said he's not doing the gig, okay? So he's not doing your...
What do you mean by gig? I don't understand.
Yeah, what is that?
Job. I'm sorry. It's a show business.
Oh, well. Excuse me. Gig.
Yeah, that's a gig, huh?
It's a gig. It's a job. It's what people do in show business, all right? 1-800-449-8686. Pam, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just would like to make the comment that if you truly love your daughter and you really...
Is this Pam?
Pam?
Wait. I was talking to Gary Shandling a minute ago. And
never mind. Let the lady...
Can I make my point?
Yes, please. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you're truly concerned about your daughter and you truly love her, you would, and there's a weight problem, you would have her involved with a dietitian and a fitness program.
Mm-hmm.
You are...
What's that got to do with who's hosting our event?
Well,
we're talking about the health of children, okay?
Right. But even above the health of children in general,
right.
You are not only mentally abusing your daughter, but physically abusing her as well. And if Child Protective Services in your state does not take action after hearing this, and if they need a complaint, I'm happy to call, because if you can honestly go on national radio and with good conscience say that you fling a rake at your daughter and feel that that is not a little bit whack.
I walked in and saw her with a piece of chocolate cake. No daughter of mine.
Oh, my help. Stop the world.
No daughter of mine does that. She doesn't do that to me. She doesn't do that to her father. She doesn't do it to herself. And you just heard Gary Shandling is bowed out of the gig. Why? Because my daughter, with the heel of her hand, was shoving chocolate cake into her mouth. I had to...
And you hit her with a rake.
Do you have a daughter, Pam?
I do have a daughter. I have a daughter who's 13.
Have you ever
beautiful,
seen...
who is mm-hmm. thin, and I have
yeah.
seen her choke down a chocolate cake.
Have you seen her push it into her mouth with the heel of her hand? Yeah.
You know what? Yes, I have. Even
rake,
if I did, I would never sling a rake at her.
If you were holding a rake...
So she's pushing it in with the palm of her hand.
It's
no.
Unreal.
No.
You know what it is?
No.
It's a bonding experience. To share the
you
bond
are
together.
Bonding?
What, we share the
you
bond.
Are mentally ill.
Mentally
and
ill.
You,
and what do you mean share the bucket?
That is mother-daughter
no.
sharing the bucket.
That is mother and daughter. Mother and daughter perpetuating the cycle of abuse.
Have you ever heard of the fashion show?
If you truly, truly love her, you will put her into protective care to protect her from you.
You know something?
You keep telling people, do you want to look like me? Do you want to be like me?
Yes.
Hell no. I would not. I am a size 5, and I don't care if I would rather gain 400 pounds than be like you.
If you saw me, you'd want to be like me.
No.
Yes, I think you would. And if my daughter sticks chocolate cake close to her face, I'll take a snow shovel to her. I don't care. Because
well, lady, you know what? I am calling Child Protective Services in your state.
Oh, really?
I am calling
them. Charge?
And I am.
Well,
all they have to do is listen to this.
You hear what's going on here. Now we got Child Protective Service. You had Gary Shandling bow out of your gig, and now you got Child Protective Services.
Phil, when my daughter and I get together, after we share the bucket, we get together and compare our chests in the mirror.
And they look great, too.
I hope you're saving a lot of money by not increasing your homeowners association fee, because you're going to have years of therapy.
You don't sound like a size 5.
A psychiatrist.
You don't talk like a size 5.
Would you like me to fax you a picture of me? Because
yes.
I could fax you a picture of
yes,
me.
Yes, I would like
I would
that.
Be happy
right, hold on.
To.
What is our fax
I've modeled, and I have been.
What's our fax number?
I was a size 3. I have gained a few pounds.
Pam, are you at the Pam? This is Phil Henry. Could you fax us that picture? 818-461.
Hey, I need to grab a pen. I'm sorry. I just walked in my house.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Radio.
They give you a fax number.
Okay.
You don't have it in
the 818. I have it right now.
Oh,
818.
My God. Your throat sounds too thick for you to be a size 5. That's all I'm saying. It sounds as if there's fat pressing. You know? It's
What is the
818.
Number again?
It's 818-46.
I'll do it. It's 818-461-8230.
Okay, I am going right now to my daughter's baseball game, and I will stop at Kinko's on the way and fax this.
You do that.
I will.
And I'd like a particular close-up of the neck. Does that really count?
Of the neck?
I want to see your throat.
Well, you know, I don't have a picture handy of just my neck, but I will get one in the next day or two. Because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
You know, it's ridiculous. And by the way, when you send that picture, we have to take out the legal-sized paper.
You know, you're really getting a kick out of putting this poor lady down who called in caring about children.
Well, Phil, I care about children.
You know what? I don't care if you put me down. You can put me down all you want.
A woman with a thick neck calls in and tells me she's a size 5. I am mortified.
A thick neck. Maybe what you hear in my voice is complete, utter disgust.
And contempt for some of the things that you've been saying on this program. Thank you very much, Pam, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley have joined us from Western Estates Homeowners Association. I got nothing against fashion shows for kids. I guess they're okay, but when you begin to encourage teenage girls to purge for 2 weeks before a fashion show, saying, well, 2 weeks of purging is nothing, then we get into health issues. She sounds like she has a thick neck. So anyway, we're going to get that fax, I believe. Not that it matters to me. I'm sure, Pam, you're who you say you are. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. What, Miss Dooley?
Well, the only reason she has to take her daughter to a ball game is because...
says Pam's the backstop. And it,
yes, that's really funny. Yeah, you guys are great. One 800 449 8686 Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have a Mr. Harvey Wireman on the line. He is an attorney. Mr. Wireman, you were saying...
Yes, sir. I simply wanted to say, is the lady there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. There's nothing wrong and nothing in California statutory law which indicates anything wrong with a mother trying to supervise the health of a daughter. And I think what's happening here is...
That's what I'm talking about. The fact that I am allowed to let my daughter purge so that she can get down to the size 6 and be in the fashion.
Yes, and I believe that the woman is well within her rights.
Within her rights to...
As long as she's not forcing the child, she is within her rights to help keep the child's body in a slender, in a slender way. Now, Southwest Airlines is being sued by some individuals who are large, and this is what we're talking about.
Thank you. So I'm trying to say, Phil, that my daughter, I'm just doing the best I can for her. She's here with us.
Amanda's right here.
Amanda's going to purge in a minute here, Phil. She's had some soy cookies. Go ahead, honey.
Yeah.
Now,
what are you doing?
Well, I'm having her purge. Go ahead.
That sounds like the kid is straining, all right?
No, it's okay, Cassandra. She's fine. Gotta get it out.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Gene on the Phil Hendry Show. Gene, go ahead. Gene?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Gene. I'm from Flint.
Hi,
and,
Gene. I'm Bobby.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a real problem with this. I can't understand why a mother would have her daughter purge.
Because we have a fashion show that Gary Shandling just quit.
Yeah. Well, how often do you make your daughter purge?
I don't make her do anything. And
try to get our daughter to purge.
What are you doing?
Just taking some pictures.
Are these people for real?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, are you doing this as some kind of a publicity stunt?
A publicity stunt? This fashion show raises upwards of $50,000 a year for charity. And, Gene, how much money do you raise a year for charity?
What difference does that make?
Oh, okay.
You're the one that got
Thank
on
you.
The radio
Thank you.
With your
Thank
you,
you
and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
I think you both need psychological help.
Gene,
and
this
I
is Harvey Wireman. I'm an attorney.
You need to do something with your daughter.
Have you ever worn Dolce & Gabbana? Probably not. This young lady will be wearing that, and she'll look
you
very
know,
hot.
This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You guys may be a size 5, but you're going to have cancer of the esophagus, and I don't think anybody has brought this up.
I've talked to Dr. Corrigan Wessler. He treats a lot of the bigger name stars, and he says 2 weeks of purging can be fun, it can be bonding, and it does not risk you. Put you at risk of esophageal cancer.
How can vomiting be fun? Lady, you're sick. You and your husband need help. He just said his daughter was hot. What's wrong with this?
What is with the father calling the daughter hot?
I can say my daughter's hot. I would never have sex with her unless my morals were bad.
I heard that.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound like a fatherly comment.
I heard my husband say something that I thought was very sweet. He said, if I were not that girl's father, I'd put her on the hood of a car in a dark parking lot, and I would...
Good God!
What?
What is that? Put her on the hood of a car in a dark parking lot.
Mr. Henry, I don't think you have any right to interfere in the parental obligations that these two people are doing.
I don't think these people are legit.
Yeah, I don't... And what is with the camera, okay?
I'm trying to get right now.
We're trying to get some publicity shots for the...
Over the radio?
Right
her vomiting in a trash can?
You know something, Gene? Do you have a daughter? No.
Do you bond over the bucket? No. What we do, we jog together at 5 in the morning. The entire community can see us, Western Estates, in our Teddy Tees, the little cut-off T-shirt where you just see the lower portion of the breast. We have the nice shorts, the socks. We just look great, you know. Just really
how
great.
How old is your daughter?
And I've got some more flyers out to these porkers. And
what was your question? Your daughter?
My daughter, Amanda, she's 11. And
11.
Oh, my God.
11.
Oh, my God.
She's hot, too.
I think that the lady in Flint is off her rocker because...
Will you get that lawyer off the line, please?
How dare you talk...
Oh.
All right, who do we have left here?
I'm here, Phil.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Jean, I'm a mother, and I think I know what's best for my children, okay? Now, if you want to... Move your flabby ass off the couch and
ma'am,
get out.
Ma'am, you have no idea what I look like.
Exactly, and I think it's very wrong of you to assume.
Exactly. She's the one that got on the radio.
And you also, that whole crack about my daughter on the hood of a car, okay?
What about your daughter on the hood of a car?
At
not
11?
My daughter, your daughter, okay?
You're promoting child pornography at
you're,
11.
You do. You sound like you're from Michigan. Pornography. All right, I have to go now. We got to put some flyers out. Yeah.
Thank God for everyone
just
involved,
just because you
ma'am.
Shove the cheese down your kids' throats doesn't mean I'll
hey,
torture my daughter the same
I
way,
think
okay?
you have
yeah.
proved that this
mental.
Is the largest dysfunctional
she's,
family I have mm-hmm. ever heard on the radio.
She's mental. 1-800-449-8686.
Maybe I don't know what you look like, but you sound like a cheese-eating sow. And
thank you. Well, we'll probably be getting a call from the state on that one. Fashion shows for kids, they're wrong. Purging, wrong. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
This is The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills said... Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills saying, thanks so much for the return of those miners. We are all rejoicing along with America.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
So you basically have said you've had enough of what?
Well, what I've had enough of, Phil, is I've seen too many miners trapped. Too many miners have been trapped in mine shafts down through the years, and what really sickens me are the millions of American people putting these miners at risk. And
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Ted. Putting the miners at what?
Putting them at risk.
At risk?
Because of charcoal. Forget buying a gas grill. Save yourself money. Buy a cheap kettle grill. Buy charcoal. Fine. But what about the men risking their lives in those mine shafts so you can have your charcoal barbecue?
Well, the coal that they're mining... As I understand it, again, we're talking about the nine miners who very, very fortunately were rescued. Great work there in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
The coal that they mine is principally for fuel.
Principally charcoal. 80 to 90% of the coal mined in Pennsylvania goes right to your supermarket shelf where people, but up in the summer for their cookouts, they buy it. And they have charcoal, and Phil, the saddest part is those guys risked their lives. They came out of that shaft in a tube, and they were put in a hospital so some guy can light his charcoal briquette and turn a beautiful sirloin into a combat boot that you wouldn't serve to an alley cat. I am angry. I think it's time the American people got angry. And I'm
going, well, what do you propose?
Well, what I'm proposing, I'd like to see any number of things happen. Learn how to cook a steak with charcoal briquettes. So these men are not risking their lives for nothing. Stop using charcoal, go to gas, but that would put a lot of guys out of work. Or what we recommend, if you want a great-tasting barbecue steak, I would say, you know, you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And you have erected a neon sign out, and we have a picture of that, I think, somewhere here, and I know that you got a little bit of a news coverage for that.
That's right, Phil. A multi-light neon graphic sign that says, and I don't know if you can see that on our website.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
It says, stop torturing our coal miners. Eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, what about, wouldn't any steakhouse do?
In terms of
eating a gas-grilled steak?
Well, Phil, we like to think that we're the only steakhouse, with all due respect to other steakhouses, but I say this with humility, but by the same token I say it. We believe we're the only steakhouse acknowledging our small part in keeping people from buying charcoal that contributes to the dangers these coal miners face. And so to answer the question, no, not just any steakhouse would do. I don't see any of them putting signs up that say quit torturing coal miners. I don't see any of them pointing out, and again, I can't stress this enough, that these guys think they know how to barbecue. They get their Kingsford coals all lit up thanks to a coal miner. Then they throw some gorgeous tri-tip out there, and it turns into something you wouldn't find in a, you wouldn't put in a fireplace. And that's what I'm talking about.
Barbecuing isn't so much the food. It's the getting together, though, isn't it? And
well, oh, I see. So let me get this straight. You want to murder coal miners so you can sit around and have a martini?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I'm just saying that a barbecue isn't so much the eating.
Well, I have to be honest. When my wife has her girlfriends over for a drink, and I hear one of them say the usual thing, oh, my husband is great on that grill. Oh, my husband does flank steak better than anyone. I pray to God I don't lose it right there, because, you know, what they think is a great marinade is A1 with ketchup. All right.
So you're against using charcoal for barbecues, not only because it puts coal miners at risk, but also because it makes a lousy barbecue.
Well, in a lot of ways. But people are also used to having that coal smoke pour up over their steak, and they don't know what a great-tasting steak is. What that is a Stockholm syndrome. People have been held hostage by the bad charcoal smoke, okay? So what we're trying to say is, what we're trying to basically say is, let's get people together, understand that in buying charcoal, you're putting miners at risk, and the steak tastes like it came out of someone's rear end, Phil, and I would never say that.
Well, it's not necessary.
I wouldn't say that in any other instance, but I am that upset about what we saw over this past weekend. Those brave coal miners, those brave, brave men trapped in a mine shaft, so all these suburbanites can say, you know, what do you want to, butterfly the shrimp? How do you want to cook it? To me, and I wonder how many people this weekend thought once about those miners in Pennsylvania while they tossed lighter fluid on the briquettes that those very miners dug out with their bare hands. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. With me is Ted Bell. He's the owner of a steakhouse in Beverly Hills called Ted's of Beverly Hills. Obviously, you don't cook with charcoal.
No, we do not. Though we use gas grills, and we also have a wood-burning stove.
All right, so you cook utilizing only gas and only wood.
And one of the reasons is we know what miners have to go through to extract that coal from underground. And do you think I'm going to sit there and watch a man almost lose his life so I can stand around with my wife, have a drink, and throw a piece of meat on a kettle barbecue that I'm going to destroy anyway? Because any guy that uses charcoal briquettes is absolutely destroying his meal. And I mean, you might as well urinate on it. And
can we just back off these references?
Forgive me, Phil, but I'm saying, you use charcoal briquettes, you might as well take the food and throw it away. So what I'm asking people to do, if they care about the miners in Pennsylvania, if they care about the miners in West Virginia, if they care about these people who have had such a difficult time over the last 3 days, well, we saved their lives. And what are they down there for? So people can have their charcoal cookout. It makes me want to, I spit the words out. I really do. You remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, vomit you out of my mouth? I think the same about anybody that cooks with charcoal at their cookout.
I didn't think we'd get the Bible quoted here.
Well, I'm damn mad about it, Phil.
All right, number 1-800-449-8686. You've done some things that have gotten some negative notice in the local press, Ted. Tell me about that.
Well, I wrote a letter to the LA Times in which I said barbecuing with charcoal could kill our coal miners.
Okay.
And one of the writers there called me, and I've got the quote right here, possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California. Well, let me tell you, that pissed me off, all right? And because nobody talks about, I'm Ted Bell, all right? No one talks about me that way. Now, our banner says, stop endangering the miners, eat at Ted's. And I have told the L.A. Times I'll give them 48 hours to retract, or so help me, sweet God, I will stage an L.A. Times bonfire, and I won't use charcoal, I'll use gas.
Well, coal and charcoal, there's a difference between coal and charcoal, isn't it? Isn't there?
No, that's something the charcoal business has been saying for years. why do these minor accidents happen in the summer? Because every idiot's fired up his briquettes, and a lot of it's consumed right there in Pennsylvania. That's the other part that drives me nuts.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, this guy, I wonder what he's talking about. Charcoal is made out of wood. The product he's talking about is made out of coal.
Coal. Why is it called coal?
Coke.
Why is it called coal?
Charcoal.
Coal.
Charred
coal.
Any kind of a coal. There can be wood coals and all sorts of coals.
Okay. But these miners who have risked
you
their lives.
You have missed a boat, Bubba. You missed a boat.
No, I did not.
Yes.
What I'm saying
charcoal is a wood product. It's not a mineral.
There's all kinds of different coal. Would you agree with that?
Charcoal.
Would you agree with that?
Hey, don't back me in a corner.
No, I'm not trying to back you in a corner. I'm trying to save the lives of miners.
Charcoal is a product made with wood and some assorted clays. It's not made with coal.
No.
There's no anthracite coal. There's no coal of that kind in charcoal.
That's what... Do you work in the charcoal business? You do, don't you?
No.
No, because this is what the charcoal business has been trying to sell for years.
Hogwash.
No, they have. A lot of the coal that comes out of the coal mines in Pennsylvania goes right into... Is this... By the way, you sound like Hank Hill.
I don't know Hank Hill.
All right. A lot of the coal that comes out of the mines in Pennsylvania goes directly into some jackass's barbecue. I'm not saying you, Mike, but a lot of these people. Well, you may think it's funny, nine miners trapped. I don't think it's funny.
Nobody thinks that those miners being trapped is funny, all right?
Funny, I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is that you're wet about your position for mining charcoal. You don't mine charcoal. Charcoal
then can you
is a
tell
wood
me why
product.
They call it, can you tell me why they call it coal?
Anything that's burned, it leaves an ash as a coal.
But coal that is corn. Mined is not burned. Not when they find it under the ground. Am I right about that, Phil?
Oh, wait, you're getting into semantics now.
No, sir. What I'm saying
yes,
is
you are.
The
you
coal that is
are.
Found underground.
No.
Has that been burned yet? The answer is no. So what they do with that is they bring it up.
Is the coal that's mined in Pennsylvania put into barbecues?
No.
Yes.
No, hell no.
Sir, I beg to differ. Sir, I'm in the restaurant business.
Did read you think, the labels, then.
Can I ask you a question? Did you once think about those miners when your wife brought out that potato salad to eat with that combat boot steak you cooked?
Well,
I don't think a lot of people know.
All right, look at Mike, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The coal miners in Pennsylvania are mining coal, and Ted says that they're risking their lives so people can have their cookouts on the weekends and have their charcoal barbecues going, and those poor guys are trapped underground. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Ted Bell with us now. You have another sign on your restaurant.
Well, the sign says no miner was injured during the cooking of this steak. And what that means, Phil, is that we do not use charcoal in our place of business. We use gas. Those miners that came out of that mine shaft on Sunday who were digging out that coal so somebody can stand around a barbecue and tell his kids, don't go in the house with your feet wet. And he's cooking up some barbecued shrimp or chicken teriyaki, or which is, by the way, I haven't met a human being yet that can make teriyaki chicken decently. These guys are risking their lives so your next-door neighbor can make some god-awful chicken teriyaki. You have got to be kidding me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We all say, once again, thank God for the safe rescue of the coal miners in Pennsylvania. Cecilia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes. I can't resist calling the man with his charcoal a downright idiot. Coal
Ma'am, the
is
Los
not
Angeles,
mine for
the Los Angeles
barbecuing.
Times called me an
coal is mine to heat the homes in Pennsylvania and the surrounding area.
Yes, but they also barbecue with it.
No, they do
the
not.
Coal,
you're a first-class jackass. As
first
you
of all, the Los Angeles Times referred to me as an imbecile, and now you're piling on.
Well, you yourself use the expression jackass, and that's exactly what you are.
Well, don't you think it's a jackass thing to have men risking their lives?
They're not risking their lives for barbecuing. They're risking their lives to save lives in the wintertime to heat furnaces, to heat homes.
That's what you do with charcoal. Hello. You light it on fire.
You don't do that with charcoal. You do it with coal. I happen to come from Pennsylvania, and I happen to come from the coal mining district.
Well,
I may live in the Midwest now.
God bless those people, Cecilia. But let me say this to you. If you take charcoal and you put lighter fluid on it and you light it on fire, guess what it does? It gets hot. That's what I'm talking about. People are heating their homes with that.
No, they're heating their homes with coal.
No,
they usually use, you order coal by the ton, and it comes in the fall so that you'd be prepared for the winter with your furnace.
Well, get a load of Norma Ray. You know,
Why don't you wake up and find out what goes on in this world instead of acting like an idiot?
Ma'am, I am trying to save the lives of miners by only using gas.
Accidents will happen anywhere. You could be in an accident in the car. You could trip and fall and break a leg. You can have an accident at all times.
What's that
I was born and raised in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Do you know how to cook a steak?
Absolutely.
On charcoal?
On charcoal,
then
yes.
You are contributing to the murder of
No, she's not.
Idiot.
You're an idiot. First-class idiot.
The Los Angeles Times called me possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California.
Well, boy, they ought to throw you out into the ocean because you have no brain.
Do you know how many miners you put in danger with that hibachi of yours?
I have no hibachi.
We're talking about...
You have a hibachi?
No, I have no hibachi.
Do you know what a hibachi is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a cooker.
It's a barbecue, okay?
Well, it is. It's a cooker.
That's right. You're right, ma'am. It's a barbecue. And
you've never used charcoal?
She doesn't use charcoal.
You might as well eat the flesh of those miners when you grill on charcoal.
Look, You know something?
That's what I
Why don't you wake up and smell the roses?
I'm awake.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Coal.
Coal is used for heating
Then why do they call it charcoal?
It's
or maybe you like being a cannibal.
The charcoal and the coal are two different
things.
Tell you
what, Cecilia, when you put that charcoal in your barbecue, why don't you just go ahead and throw a miner on the grill?
All right.
Oh, you're stupid ass.
Right,
you know
ass.
That. Bye.
Oh, she hung up. See, she didn't have the courage to debate me. And if
what's to debate? We've already been talking to you about charcoal and coal possibly being two different things, okay?
How are they different, Phil, when the fact remains that you call it coal and it gets hot? Now, let me tell you something, Phil, about it.
It call it coal and it gets hot? Okay, it's some kind of coal.
Let me tell you something. Coal, when it's under enough pressure, turns to diamonds. Now, you know that, right?
Yes, anybody knows that from school, yeah. Diamonds are the result of coal under a great amount of pressure.
All right. When I was a little boy, I went into the garage, and I took a piece of charcoal from my father's barbecue bag, okay, from the Kingsford bag.
Right.
And I remember standing on it for about 6 hours, and I stood on it, and I stood on it, and I would not get up. When I got off of it after about 6 hours, because it was a summer afternoon, I didn't have a lot to do, I am telling you the God's truth that there looked to be some iridescent or crystallized material inside of it. Okay. So now,
wait a minute. You took a piece of Kingsford charcoal and stood on it when you were a kid?
To apply pressure to the coal.
And you say there were diamonds?
Yes, there was some kind of crystallized material. Now, if you've seen the Superman movie, he takes coal from underground, squeezes
it. Yeah, I know. Squeezes it and it turns into a diamond.
Yes. Yes. Now, how do you explain that?
Superman
took the coal, squeezed it, and it turned into a diamond. Now, the coal that he had wasn't from underground. I think it was a Kingsford briquette or a...
Now, well, I don't know whatever it was, and I don't know that when you stood on top of the coal as a kid, it actually turned into diamonds. I don't know that that's the case. All I know is that the coal we're talking about that those miners were going after was coal from underground, and the charcoal, okay...
Look, the first words that came out of those miners' mouths when they came out of that tube was, "Please stop barbecuing." Jesus H, am I the only one?
Leanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
pillow.
Yes.
I just looked up the word charcoal in the dictionary.
What, you didn't know what it meant?
I wanted to make sure of the root of the word because I knew very well. He kept saying, why is it called coal?
Why is it
called
coal? Well,
it's called coal because it's Middle English.
Exactly.
It is C-O-L-E back
exactly.
in those days.
That's right.
And it's come down to us
like
that
old
way.
King
it's tradition.
Cole. Like Old King Cole.
It's, yes, Old King
who
Cole.
Died
probably.
In a, who died
definitely
in a house
that.
House. He died
he
in
was
house.
Probably a charcoal person. Anyway,
that's
I looked
good.
Up the definition, and it is the
no.
imperfect
I
combustion of
funny.
Water, other organic materials that produces this stuff. It's not the mine.
Charcoal. That's
for heaven's
come
sake.
Out of the mines.
Oh, I so cannot
words,
believe
you think
the
it's funny.
Ignorance of these West Coast liberals.
So in other words, you think it's funny that he's called Nat King Cole because he's black like a piece of coal?
I have no idea about that, but you were talking
racist.
Middle English.
Get a load of the racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's funny, don't you?
Oh, sure.
That a black man's called Cole.
Well, I didn't
listen,
call him Cole because
I don't think
man,
we ought to get into any racism
well,
here.
You
this
did. You
was in Middle England.
You
now, these are white people, okay?
You laughed at the fact that he was called Nat King Cole.
I am laughing
right.
at the fact that I'm even making this conversation at all. I cannot believe I had to
coal?
Go look up something in the dictionary that somebody should have learned years ago.
I know what coal is, and I know that we've got miners who are putting their ass on the line so you can go out and have your teriyaki chicken.
I don't eat teriyaki chicken, and I do not do anything with coal. But let me tell you, sir, if you will take that dictionary off the shelf with probably gathering dust, you will be able to find out what the root
ma'am.
Of that word is and how
you know,
old it is and also what it is. It's the product of the imperfect combustion of organic or wood material, and that's all it is.
I know what words mean. I don't need a dictionary.
Oh, yeah, really? I don't think you don't. I think you do need a dictionary.
The coal miner's daughter almost never made it because of barbecues, so think of that.
I do not know the first thing about barbecues except for this stuff which I just looked up, and it's got nothing whatsoever to do with coal that you dig out of the ground. Goodbye.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Man, you dirty.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But I won't let her go near it.
You won't let your wife do what?
I will not let my wife. Well, you got nine guys that almost lost their lives this past weekend, Phil, in the coal mines of Pennsylvania. And my wife had the gall to walk outside with Korean beef in a tray. And I said, what do you think you're going to do with that? She said, I'm going to barbecue it. I said, you are either going to put that on a gas grill or you can take it and throw it in the street. And she said the gas grill was broken, she was pulling our kettle barbecue out, and she was going to use charcoal. And I took that Korean beef from her, and I threw it into the middle of the street.
Because of the coal miners?
Because of our coal miners who are risking their lives so my wife and women like her can get into their Bobby Flay books and do some kind of fancy Dan Southwestern barbecue.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're having a, you got to admit, having a debate as to whether the miners in Pennsylvania were mining charcoal or coal. And
it's coal, Phil. What is wrong with you? It's coal.
It's coal, okay. And
that's what they use in barbecues.
In barbecues.
Yes. 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 You know, here I am, and I took that Korean beef and...
Yeah, you threw it in the street, I know.
Because that's what I think about that.
Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
I live in Arkansas, and I've got a business, and I wholesale, make and wholesale charcoal. Bituminous coal comes from the ground.
Where do you get it from?
We cut down trees. We use oak, hickory... the best hardwood charcoal is made out of hickory.
So you're getting it from Pennsylvania or where?
We sell it everywhere.
You know, not where you sell it. Where are you getting your coal from?
We make our coal. We burn incomplete combustion of hickory, oak, and other select hardwood.
What about those miners? What about the miners? What do you think?
Lord
God, I would hate to think I had a steak that was cooked on bituminous coal because there's no telling what it would taste like. Probably tar.
What? I can't believe there are people right at this moment while those miners are talking on television and they're
lying. I can't believe there's anyone as stupid as you are that would think that charcoal is made from bituminous coal. It is not.
We
make tons of it every year. The Kingsford charcoal you got, that's made in Mississippi, and it's made fine from my fine Mississippi hickory.
Don't you think the Kingsford people...
It's not made out of coal that is mined.
Don't you think the Kingsford people share responsibility in the possible death of these
people? Not one bit.
Wait a minute.
Not unless a hickory tree fell on them. You stupid fool.
I'm a stupid fool.
Yes, you are.
Okay, the L.A. Times...
Listen
to me, sir.
Cowboy, I make charcoal.
The Los Angeles Times told me the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California.
You know, you've quoted that twice. Are you proud of that?
Well, he called me a stupid fool. This other woman called me something. This is what happens when you're fighting against all odds to save these miners. I don't murder miners, sir. You come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, I use gas. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, I tell you what, I would certainly like to see what a steak tastes like if you cooked it over bituminous coal
and
a charcoal grill. I'll bet you it would be fun.
Bituminous grill. What is that?
Bituminous coal. On a grill.
Well, what were the guys in Pennsylvania? They were mining charcoal, so I don't know what it is.
No, they're not. You don't mine charcoal.
You don't.
You do not mine charcoal.
I don't mine it either. But I prefer gas.
You might, okay.
All right,
the tool you use to make charcoal is a chainsaw. You cut a tree down.
Charcoal, what this gentleman is saying, is made out of wood.
It is made out of wood.
Then why do they call it coal?
Because all kinds of stuff is coal.
Have you ever seen
a fireplace that had coals in it?
Yeah.
Well,
my kids at Christmas, I put it in their stocking.
You put a lump.
What do you mean by bituminous?
Right, that's kind of a tree.
I don't understand.
Look, charcoal. Coal is some kind of a burn thing. They're not mining charcoal. Is the bottom line. And
that's
your
correct.
Sign on your restaurant that says we don't murder miners here has got nothing to do with anything.
Well, then why is my restaurant packed?
Then they must be real idiots out in Beverly Hills.
They
called you the biggest imbecile that ever owned a restaurant.
That's right.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks very much. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute.
I'm giving the number here. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show here as I'm talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. What is this, okay?
Do I get a commercial or don't I?
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
So if Superman squeezed a lump of charcoal, would he make a diamond or would he make a big lump of hickory? It's a diamond.
Wait a minute, man. What you're saying is that if Superman...
Shut up.
We're at Ted's. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And remember, our waitresses are dressed up as rescued miners, and no miners were injured in the kicking of our steaks. Bye.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And of course, the other thing, Phil, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers play football in western Pennsylvania, which is near many of the coal mines. And what do you think those fans are going to be doing before the Steeler games this season? They'll be in the parking lot of the brand new Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium, kicking up wieners and the bratwursts on coal that some miner is underground mining, sitting there trapped with barely enough air to keep a sparrow alive while some fat Steeler fan sucks on a wiener. To me, Phil, it's a disgrace.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686. Troy, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't believe you own a restaurant and you don't know the difference between coal and charcoal. The word coal is a fuel.
C-O-A-L. Coal.
That's right.
Right.
That's okay.
I don't cook with charcoal in a restaurant. Are you kidding?
Well, you got your restaurant built with the stuff. It's compressed wood.
No, what are you talking about? My restaurant's, first of all, I've got gabardine, and I have thick swashes of cloth in my bar. What do you mean wood?
What's the building built out of?
What's the building made out of?
I don't know. Bricks, whatever. I don't know what it is.
What's your tables made out of?
What are your tables made out of?
Oh, mine's made out of lumber.
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 What's this got to do with miners sacrificing their lives?
Well, charcoal is trees that are burned into a incinerator.
Yeah.
And it's sprayed and compressed.
So you're on that kick, right? You're a lover?
I'm a logger.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I cut the trees and deliver the trees that build your home, yeah. And coal is something you dig up out of the ground. Now do you know the difference between the two? Because I would like to see you steak. I would like to see you cook a steak over coal that those miners were digging up.
Well, I don't know what you mean by logger.
Well,
I don't live in a log cabin.
Son, you need to go to school, I guess.
Well, I don't live in a log cabin. I live in a home, split level, southwestern design.
Well, then your home was built out of what I cut down and deliver.
Logs.
Logs, that's right.
Well, what are those made out of?
Well,
wood.
It's a waste of time.
They're made out of wood.
I can't even believe you're on the radio.
Well, I don't know what you mean when you say
you don't even know the difference.
You say that you're into wood. You didn't say that. You said logs.
Well,
look at Troy, and I say this because I'll say this man to man. When somebody says to me, I logged this morning, you know what we're talking about.
Well, down south you do.
All right. So that ain't made out of wood either, unless I ought to change my diet. Now, my house has an aluminum frame, so...
Will you forget about logging, okay?
I mean, I laid lumber this morning downstairs, but what is that supposed to... What's that got to do with anything you're talking about?
Well, I'm trying to tell you what charcoal's made out of.
It's made out of wood.
That's
right. It's made out of burnt wood, basically.
It's made out of burnt wood. It goes into an incinerator.
Why does it burn if it's...
Well, hold on. Just sit back. Sit back and listen for a change.
I'm talking about miners in Pennsylvania who have risked their lives.
That's right.
Okay.
They risked their lives to draw the coal that is fuel.
You can barbecue.
No, it does not go to a barbecue. It's the same fuel that you burn in trains. Your fuel, Coleman lantern fuel. That's what they're digging up.
I fly in airplanes and I use a flashlight. I don't know what else I can do.
I mean, man, on the IQ scale, son, I think you owe them some points.
You know,
I can't believe you don't know the difference between the two. You pick a damn bag of charcoal bricks up and you read on the side of it. It'll say made out of hardwood, oak, hickory, things like that.
I'll tell you something else.
If a man took a chunk of coal and a chunk of charcoal, smacked you on each side of the head, you would remember the difference between the two.
See, since you came on the air, all you can talk about is wood and big brown logs.
Well, that you're trying to make it sound like anybody that has anything to do with the timber industry making charcoal is we're the blame for those men.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
we're not associated with fuel at all.
No, I'm not saying that at all. You guys are talking about wood and logs, and it, to me, sounds disgusting.
Well, there's something badly mixed up about it.
Yeah.
Charcoal and wood.
Charcoal is wood.
Coal
is a stone. It's a fuel stone that is found underground.
So when I stood on that charcoal as a kid and tried to turn it into a diamond?
You were a stupid kid.
You want to sit around and rub a piece of wood and hope you get a damn piece of diamond out of it, but... You won't get nothing like that. You look like a damn fool.
See, here's what you go again. There you go talking about rubbing wood.
Well, you're the one that wants to rub charcoal, but good luck.
No, I'll rub charcoal before I start rubbing your wood.
All right. Get out of here, will you, Ted?
What about my commercial?
Go ahead and play it.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on.
All right, so I'm wrong. Charcoal is made out of wood, and the coal that those guys were mining comes from underground. All right? I'm Ted. Come on in for a steak.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Remember, no riders were injured while eating the...
Yeah. Talking about rubbing wood. So there's Ted Bell, and he's a, as he was called by the Los Angeles Times, possibly the biggest imbecile to ever own and operate a restaurant in Southern California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Hey, listen, if you identify with Ted on some sick, twisted level, you may want a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt by simply going to philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And to pick up that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, you can also get our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police shirt and the best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs. This year's is called Bring It. So do it today. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. Those guys that were trapped in that mine, they got my respect, because if I were trapped in something like that for... Well, first of all, I wouldn't be down there, because I've got many phobias, and one of them is being confined in a small space. I can't think of anything worse than being, like, buried alive. Something like that. Has that ever, you know, I don't even think about it, you know. But being underground, the way those guys were for 77 hours. Well, I guess it's a certain kind of person that can deal with it. It's like people that are in submarines. You know the guys in the Navy that are in subs? They're all the same kind of people. They're very soft-spoken guys. They have a very, a very relaxed approach to life. They don't get too nervous. Somebody like me, you put me in a submarine, and all of my hair, every part of my body would be torn out within minutes. But these guys that are cool, calm, and collected, and did you see these dudes being interviewed on TV today? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, if you only knew. If you only knew just how tough you are. Seriously. If you only knew how much I admire what you do for a living, as opposed to me sitting here and running my gas bag 3 hours a day. We always hear people say, oh, the coal miners and the teachers and the police and the fire, they don't get paid enough. And yeah, you know, the whole thing's messed up. It's totally messed up. I'm saying it right now. I mean, we reward dancers. Huge money. Think about, what's the most ridiculous job that you've seen anybody? A guy that throws a football, somebody who play acts on the movie screen, play acting. Think about that gig for a while. Is there a less manly pursuit than play acting? Ballet is the next step. If you're ballet, or if you're putting on a cowboy outfit and going, hey there, partner, with a camera going, and then I caught ya. Voicing cartoons is silly. And the money you can make doing any one of those three things is astronomical. Here are some real men, these guys I saw on TV. In fact, one of those guys was chewing tobacco and spitting the juice into a bottle. Did you see that? The middle guy. Guy's got a bottle. I saw him stick his nose down into it, and he wasn't taking a drink out of it. There was a nice, big, thick little layer of tobacco juice just laying in the bottom of that bottle. And then that other guy next to him, and the other guy, these three guys, these are tough cats. And then the dude behind, that young guy, I think there were five they interviewed this morning out of the nine. These guys, this is what we call tough. And what do I do for a living? Nothing. God, I wish I mined coal. All I want to do is mine coal, and where am I? I'm stuck in this hell. This living hell. Coming in here every day and going, okay, hey, Phil, how you doing? Oh, really good. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Go home to my wife, and she goes, oh, King of the Hill called. They want you to do another voice. And I go, well, why don't you just turn around and call me a fag? Honey, somebody wants you to do a TV show. Oh, a TV show. You might as well put high heels on me. Coal miner? That's a man. Tough dudes. All I have ever wanted is to be 2,400 feet below sea level, and look where I am. Oh, you mean 240? 240 feet below sea level, and look where I am. Yes, David, what can I do for you?
Phil, my private toilet is clogged. Come on up at commercial and play Coal Miner for me, will you?
That's funny.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Well, they're out, they're healthy, they're safe. Let me just add my voice to the chorus of voices saying we're glad those guys are okay, because I do it for selfish reasons. I want people to know that I have a heart and that I have sensitivity and that I'm not always trying to make fun of everything that comes down the pike. In other words, what I'm trying to do is increase my audience share and my quarter hour, and I'm trying to, in other words, get higher ratings so that you'll identify with me and not think that I'm a slime ball. Okay? Thanks.